Blog Talk Radio.
Children, Lord, we shall never lose the faith that your name shall be honored
heavens have come into harmony with your will and peace on earth, Lord, and your peace. Okay, and we pray this in the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Sorry, we have all the technical difficulties. I'm having a hard time bringing up the music. It'll just take a few seconds here. Okay, we'll get it up and up and running.
Thank you. Thank you. Reveals that there's something more, there's something real. You are being
process started in life of a person, and then that process moves from A to B. because of God, not because of us. We just get to bear witness to the process. We get to know our people and find out what spiritual process is going on in them, and then encourage them to stay on the journey. That's all. I grew up in a Jewish home. I committed my life to God at an early age, but it has never been easy for me. Faith doesn't come easy for all of us. I'm one of the people who struggle with it a lot. There are some people who become Christians and are messianics and assume all their darkness is gone. I became a Christian, in my 20s, but I have been spending my life wrestling with darkness that remains. God doesn't reveal things to you all at once. It seems we often get only enough light to take the next step, and even the step sometimes we must take with barely enough light on the path to know where we are going. I don't remember how old I was when I was praying this prayer. God, I know so much, I know so little about you. I don't know what is true and what is not. But if I want to know the truth about my life and about this world and about you and about what it means to be a human being in a world full of both light and darkness, I will search for truth all the days of my life because I'd rather experience the frustration that comes from constantly searching for than the peace that I might have if I just settle for things that aren't real. I'm sure I didn't phrase it quite that way, but that's what I meant. And so here I am. I've been searching ever since. My search has taken me everywhere, to the study of most of the major religions of the world, and to years of believing only in science and naturalism, and to certainty that God exists, and then certainty that he doesn't. I could almost sing the song by Johnny Cash, "I've been everywhere, man. I consider most things people can consider about God. I've considered that he is who the fundamentals portray him to be, in which case I, like many people, would have no interest in him. I have considered that he just wants me to be happy and doesn't care how I live my life. But then part of me cries out to believe that the way I live my life matters in the scheme of things. I've considered that maybe we're just accidents, you and me. Maybe it's the Big Bang prompted by one thing, no one thing, and nothing than the universe and the conditions for the life on Earth. And then something crawling from the primordial ooze. As a little while later, Curious George, and ultimately me, I considered that maybe my search is ridiculous, because the answers I seek will never be found. And of course, I considered that behind all this mystery is a God who loves me enough that he came as a human being to this earth and died to pay the penalty for my sins. And it's what I must most deeply believe. But I'm still searching out what it means in my life. I've discovered something about searching I wanted to share with you this evening. Searching is nearly always characterized by fear and frustration. I know there are many of you here today experiencing that right now. I know there are people all over this room this evening that are searching. Some are searching for meaning in life. Some are searching for peace. Some are searching for spiritual direction. And I think one way or another, that's what it's all about. It's all about spiritual things. I mean, ultimately, the most important things we search for are spiritual, aren't they? Yeah, we search for money and power and sex and promotion. But most of the time, we search for most urgently for peace and for meaning for God. But searching is nearly always characterized by fear and frustration. Searching is hard to do, and it's scary, it's frustrating. It's scary to move through the dark. Two nights ago, we talked about darkness. When you're in darkness, moving is often the last thing you want to do, because there might be something out there you might bump into, and that might hurt. So you will often remain still spiritually. When you have been in darkness and suddenly we start feeling like it's time to search, we begin moving around in the darkness. Sermons at church start to disturb us in ways they didn't before. The comments of friends start taking on new meaning. We start seeing circumstances differently. And this is scary. We've only ever been one way before. What will it mean for us to think about being a different way than how we've always been? where will me go? Today is a friend day. The guests here today, I want you to know that this sermon wasn't written for you. I mean, it was written for you, but it wasn't written for you any more than it was written for our regular attenders. We all have times in our life when we are searching for something, and no matter what we are searching for, the search will probably be characterized by fear and frustration. Ever lose your keys? Frustrating, huh? And you think, dang it, if I only had one key to such and such, what's going to happen if I lost that? And you're afraid. Ever lost your wallet? Trying to find it is frustrating, and the whole time you're thinking ID theft. Here we go, and you're fearful. Some of you here today are in spiritual search. Maybe you wouldn't call yourself a Christian right now, and you're searching for who God is supposed to be in your life. If anybody, and you're feeling fearful and frustrated, maybe you're a Christian, but you sense a restlessness inside of you and sense God calling you towards a new adventure in life. Maybe starting a business or giving sacrificially to a charity or changing jobs, but you're not sure, and you're searching for clues about what you should do, and you're fearful and frustrated. Now, I put on my counselor hat and remind you that frustration often is expressed as what? Anger. You wouldn't believe in how many times people struggling to find God find themselves angry. Angry at me, angry at God, angry at the church, angry at their spouses and kids, angry for reasons they can't understand and can't explain, just anger that is welling up deeply inside them for some reason. And when you're in that place, you never know this, but that's almost a sign that you're in search for God. You are closing in. The closer you get to God when you are searching, the greater the fear will often get because God is unknown. And the greater the frustration will often get because of the uncertainty. And the frustration and stress of the whole thing will often lead people to feel angry. My friends, I want to make sure you have heard me say very clearly, that's part of the process. I have wanted to be a writer all my life, but I've been too afraid that I didn't have anything worthwhile to say that hasn't already been said by some smarter or more skilled in the writing than me. But the desire to be a writer has grown stronger and stronger until recently I realized I had to pursue it. So I found some magazines I wanted to write for, and I wrote an article and prepared some theories and started sending out my work. Now, here I am sitting here waiting to hear from those editors in these magazines. I'm in the dark right now, but I'm searching. I'm searching for editors who want to publish my work in their magazines, and I'm fearful that I'm going to get rejected and fail. But I'm frustrated that I don't know what the outcome is going to be, and that's out of my hands. It's hard to wait, and sometimes I feel angry about the whole process. I think how much easier my life was when I just wasn't trying. Some of you are hearing what I'm saying right now. You have had the same thoughts. You are searching for something, and even so, you really want it. You are feeling frustrated and fearful about your search because you don't know whether you're going to succeed or fail. And maybe at times you've even felt angry about it and had thoughts that you should just forget it all, just give up and quit searching because life was more comfortable before you had something to search for. Think of the explorer who's searching for new lands and new territory. He thinks there's something out there, but will never know unless he looks. He encounters disappointment and fear and frustration and anger along the way, but he presses on. I want to urge you this evening to press on. Don't give up. Keep searching. If I give up, I'll die in the knowledge that I've always wanted to be a writer, never tried. If you give up, you'll die in the knowledge that whatever you're searching for might have been out there, but you quit before you found it. I want to come alongside you today in your search for God and for your guidance from God and just tell you don't give up. Wade through fear and deal with the frustration, but don't give up. The incredible story in the Bible about a person who was searching, let me read it to you and then I'll explain it. In John chapter 3, verse 1 to 9, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miracles, signs you are doing if God were not with him. And in reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he's old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he be born of water and spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at me saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear it sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. So this guy who goes to Jesus, his name is Nicodemus. The Bible says Nicodemus was a member of the Jewish ruling council. Do you know what that means? Jesus was hated and opposed by his council because he was always pointing out how hypocritical they were. So here's a member of this group of people who hate and oppose Jesus, and he approaches Jesus. When does he approach at night? Why do you think that was? Do you think Nicodemus might have been fearful? Do you think he wanted to make sure no one from the council saw him talking to Jesus and entertaining the possibility of Jesus who he said he was? Do you think Nicodemus was searching for God? What was fearful about the effect would be on his old life and his relationship if he actually found what he was looking for? I'll bet many people here today are searching, but they are fearful of what will happen if you find what you're looking for. What will my spouse think? What will my parents think? What will my friends think? Nicodemus says to Jesus, I know you're a teacher who comes from God. Scratch that. That's not what he says. Look, he says, we know you are a teacher who comes from God. Nicodemus spoke not just from himself, but for some of all the other members of this council that opposed and hated Jesus. Now, whether Nicodemus was appointed by this group to go speak on their behalf, or whether he was just referring to a select group within the council, clearly we see that Nicodemus was fearful. He feared for exposing himself, and possibly he feared exposing the other people, members of the council who were searching for the truth about Jesus. Searching is nearly always characterized by fear and frustration. And yet here we have one guy who says, I'm going to go ask. I'm going to search for the truth. Now, before we exalt this guy too much, we have to remember that the scriptures don't record Nicodemus speaking up even once in Christ's behalf. During his trial, torture, and execution, Nicodemus was no hero. He was just like you and me. He was curious and had just enough courage to sneak out under the cover of darkness and ask a few questions. Then after Jesus was dead, he summoned the courage and requested permission to bury him. Talk about a guy who can't quit, pull it together. It sounds like a lot of many of us. So Nicodemus and Jesus begin to have this conversation, and in the conversation, Nicodemus has three lines. In the first line, he greets Jesus and says, hey, we're thinking you might actually be for real. Do you think that was enough, though? My guess is that behind that statement was the question, so are you? Then both of the next two lines are direct questions. How can a man be born when he's old, and how can this be? Nicodemus is searching. He comes to Jesus and asks questions. The first is just an ordinary question. Seems like a question to me, Jesus says. You can't really understand anything I say or who I am unless you are born again. And Nicodemus is like, what? I'm an old man. What are you talking about? Perfectly natural response to a strange comment. And Jesus goes on to say some stuff that I can imagine must have been completely bewildering to this poor guy. In John chapter 3, verse 5 to 8, Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. And you should not be surprised at me saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear it sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going on, or what's going on. So it's with everyone born of the Spirit. Can you imagine if you were Nicodemus and you heard that? Nicodemus demons' response to this is also perfectly natural, and it is one of great frustration. How can this be? And all this stuff you're saying is just impossible. It doesn't make sense. Nicodemus was searching for God, searching for the truth, and you see here how his journey was characterized by fear and frustration. Now, we don't know what he did after the S because we don't see him in Scripture again until he goes and requests permission to bury Jesus in a tomb owned by his family. But this event does tell you something. It tells you that something Jesus said that night. And obviously the effect on him of Christ's whole life stuck in his craw. At the council wanted us to see Jesus dead, and that happened. Time to celebrate and move on, but not for Nicodemus. He couldn't forget. He stayed with him and changed his life. Can you see yourself in Nicodemus? Do you identify with his fear? I'm wondering about who God is right now, but I don't want to rock the boat of my life. Part of me is unfulfilled, but the other part seems pretty good. So what is this search that leads me to God, but also leads me away from other things in my life I value? Do you know that's the best question you could possibly ask? Christ said that those who decide to follow him are going to want to make sure the count costs. Some of you will find that it will cause friends and think you're okay, you're kooky. Others will find that it makes things difficult in your marriage. Others will find finding God only makes other questions hurt more, like, why is there so much suffering in the world? Do you identify with this frustration? How can this be? This doesn't make sense. I want to understand this, but I don't know how to think this way. For any of you, has it led to anger? Thinking that my life was better before I started this? These questions are the problem. I should just go back to the way it was before. More than anything today, I want you to know that searching is nearly always characterized by frustration and fear. So don't think that if you're searching for God and feeling frustrated, you must be doing something wrong. Don't think that if you're fearful, you're going to be in the wrong direction. That's part of the search. You don't become a writer without frustration and fear. You don't discover new lands and territories without frustration and fear. And you don't find your way to God without frustration and fear. We don't see God's Rainbow Christian and Messianic Tabernacle Church as a church where only non-Christians are searching. Okay, we believe that people who come in our doors are either searching for God or searching for more of God. I want to encourage you this evening, whether you are on your search to brave frustration and fear and keep searching. Jesus said everyone who searches finds. So as far as in this series, we have looked at darkness, we have looked at searching. The moment we break through the darkness of confusion and frustration and fear and experience a little peace and a little satisfaction, to get you ready for that, that'll be this Sunday. Okay, we'll talk about the third part of this series. Hey, if you're out there and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, he's your personal Lord and Savior. Okay, a Savior. Okay, you can do so. Okay, tonight. Okay, if you're tired of going down this up in this dusty road, okay, day in and day out, maybe you're lacking purpose in life, or maybe you suffer from depression and anxiety, or maybe you suffer from something so much worse, such as addiction to alcohol, drugs, pornography, gambling, overeating. Whatever the problem may be, the Lord can take it away. Okay? But in order to do so, he has to know you. So simply say this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, for too long I've kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking upon it. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. I am so ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. So I want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead on the third day. So once again, I thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true, so please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior tonight. And we pray this in the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, anyway, that was a message for tonight. Here is some music.
Thank you.
Let's take some callers.
Hello, good evening.
What's up, Mike?
Hey, you got any plans for the 4th tomorrow?
No, just go stay home.
Oh, okay, cool, man. Yeah, pretty much the same for me. I got an invite to Doug's daughter's baby shower party and 4th of July bash. I guess Doug is throwing a huge party, and he's invited his daughter's boyfriend and his friends from Malcolm X Boulevard, and there's going to be a DJ and fireworks and free paternity tests. a petting zoo in Doug's barn with Doug's favorite well-behaved sheep, the donkey, and the goat with the shaved asshole. And don't forget to place your bets. That's right. We will bet on whether Doug's pregnant daughter will float in the dunk tank. If Doug gets in, I'll bet he'll float because he's a piece of shit. I must advise Ken not to attend this ungodly party. If anybody does go, please be careful that Doug does not drug your drink and take you into the barn. Happy 4th of July to everybody. And, Kenny, I look forward to some other calls this evening. Thank you, guys, and happy 4th.
All righty, Mike. Thank you. 510.
Hi, Kenny. It's Tony.
What's up?
You know, not much. I have an announcement to make. Do you mind?
Okay, go ahead.
Tonight's sermon on God's Rainbow Ministries is brought to you by SermonCentral.com. The original author of this sermon was David Flowers, published on February 5th, 2008, with 3 out of 5 stars, 2,057 views. And the title of this is Part 2 in the series, The Journey Toward Christ.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Cite your sources.
All right. Okay. All right. Yeah. 111. All righty. Well, let's get into the prophetic word for today. The Bible says today, defend your freedom. Where my spirit is, there is freedom. Never allow anyone or anything that doesn't originate from my spirit to bring you into bondage. You are free from every temporal influence. People cannot control you unless you allow it. Circumstances cannot hold you unless you bow to the pressure. Okay, you learn to push back against the pressure that is burdening you. Say of your soul, the greater is the pressure of God and me flowing out than the pressure of the enemy or the circumstances trying to plow me under. Never allow yourself to be held captive. Refuse to clothe yourself in the garments of victimization. Cast off the grave clothes of self-referral and self-pity. You are redeemed by my hand. The gospel of my truth is the abstract recorded in heaven of your liberty and your testimony. Take up the scepter of righteousness. I have paid the price for your life. You are clean. You are accepted. The doors of opportunity stand open to you. Speak to the mountain and command it to be removed. Militate a prayer against every contrary situation or condition that defies my promise in your life. Freedom is your portion. Liberty is your base state in my kingdom. Never accept the encroachment of man or demon against you. Never bow to the circumstances. Keep your eye upon my promise and your expectations upon me. Your past will no longer dictate your future. The promise is yours, and the day star is arising this day in your heart to bring you forth into your blessings place. Amen. Amen. And this goes out to those who need it. You know who you are. Okay, let's play some more music.
God. above all distraction, above every doubt, you have my attention here right now. Love from the outset, yours from the start, you broke through the darkness to help my heart. on the fence land.
Thank you.
Okay, gonna say good night, folks. God bless. Have a great evening. What's up, man, Mark? I haven't been able to get in, and you haven't been in my radio. Okay. I just couldn't get into Discord. Four is out tonight anyway. He's at a pageant. He went with Victor to the pageant. Yeah. Oh, really? They can hear me in there? There's nobody in there. Okay. Yeah. Oh, Abby? Oh, wow. I didn't do anything, though. He, nothing. I ain't done nothing to that man. He started it all. Yeah, I can't have nobody stay here. There's already three people living in the house, Victor, myself, and Tony. We don't have a couch. We have a love seat. That'd be uncomfortable. No, we got a love seat. No. Yeah, but it's not him. There's a couple that look like Tony, but they're not Tony. I didn't get any new teeth. Yeah, that's photoshopped. Yeah, it's photoshopped. No, I'm not on Twist. That's Kent and BBF. Yeah, I told him when he came into my radio program. Okay, that was not me. No, it wasn't me. It was somebody else impersonating me. I don't have his number. He said he called me. I don't know anything about that. He didn't call me. Tonight, what did I have? Oh, I had a Jersey Mike sub. I did. Cheesesteak. No, it wasn't delivered. Tony picked it up. No, he picked it up with Victor. No, they're not fucking. They're like sisters. No, they're not fucking. No, they're not. I know I'm going to run out of servers. I don't know why it's doing it to me. I have no idea. No, it's not saying password. It's saying email address is wrong. Yes, when I went to log in, I put my email address like I normally did. Okay, drrevfisher@gmail.com. Okay. And then you know my passcode. Okay. And it came up, okay, that, okay, that doesn't log in because my email sabotaged my email or something. Yep. No. No. I'm not giving that out. No, I didn't change it. Well, no, this is a new password, okay, that I got going now. Well, the old password is still active for Gmail. I'm not giving that out because I use that Gmail account. Well, I don't know what's going on. Like I said, what's going on here, okay, but, okay, it's just something is just not flying right in Denmark.